Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. As always, we have our four hosts. I'll start off with myself. I am the real Will today
because
I get to go first. The real Will,
DeAndre.
You can find me on Twitter at Willums, WILLLUMZ.
You gotta take off a couple L's, bro. It's LLL is starting.
But it was
three L's.
My name's Usad. You can find me at Usad NBA. One S, two A's, one D.
I guess I'm fake Will today.
Yes, sir.
For the second week in a row, man. I'm going to get him next week. But you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Bias Houston.
I'm Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at G Supremacy.
Yo, flood his comments is just like why Gucci Mane is better. I just really want to see his reaction to it.
Don't do that, bro.
We're kicking it off today. Today's topic, kind of a bit of a throwback, I guess, in terms of NBA history.
Yeah.
Kind of a trend that, shout out to the good fellow Isaiah down there, kind of pointed out a bit. The big three era of basketball, is it back?
Yeah. We got a list today of basically all the top teams, some middling teams, one team we wanted to talk about that was on one of our agenda boards, not the greatest slate, but basically just talking about
like, winning, to be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, mine is too. And honestly, we can start off with mine off the top.
All the agenda boards low key are winning.
Yeah, so the OKC big three, Shea, Chet, J-Dub, have not played a single game yet this year.
That's crazy. What are they? 12-1?
Yeah, they're 12-1 and their big three has not played yet.
Probably should have won that Blazers, bro.
Yeah, they should have won that Blazers game, honestly. Never mind. Can't say what I was gonna say.
Stop. we're never getting sponsored.
Yeah, they got 1,500 minutes together plus 12 when they're on the floor. I mean, I think this is fairly consensus the best big three in basketball. Does anyone have any disputes with that?
Not at all. I think it's right now.
I mean, the only team I think you can argue is the one right below them on a dock, which is the Nuggets.
I think the overall talent wise, I think they just have three more talented players. I think with Denver, it's just like
Jokic is just Jokic is just in a different team.
Like, honestly, and that's the only argument you can make against the OKC big three. It's just like, is it a big three or is it just Shea with like two guys?
I think it's helpful. A legit Chet. Obviously, he has some play all the way. Chet looks amazing this year. Yeah. Obviously, what we saw from J-Dub last year, we'll see what he looks like when he gets back.
But I feel like it does say something like Chet's missed 9 games so far. Dub hasn't played at all, and they're still 12-1. Arguably, should be 13-0 if they hold on to win that Portland game. Like,
should be 12-1.
Yeah, like is like does that? Yeah,
ain't wrong.
Like, does that diminish the value of a big three together? Because they're a plus 15 net right now. Those three on the court the last few years are like been like a plus 12. Like, is it a big three or is it Shane role players?
I don't think it really does, because in playoff time, you kind of see the value, especially in Chet, more so defensively of like. He was the best defender
by
a mile for me last playoffs. Yeah. Like, what he was doing defensively for OKC was insane. And Jalen Williams to that effect, too, defensively. I hear the OKC fans argue all the time about who's really their best defender. You get a lot of shouts for Jalen Williams in that fan base because of how versatile he is. He can pick POA up. He can play help side. He can play weak side shot blocker at times for you. He played a 4 for you.
No, I mean, like, we talked really about this when we were doing the top 10 position rankings for Jalen Williams.
Like, positions.
Yeah, like, he's literally his Aylin minute Williams? Distribution. Yeah. It was literally like 33, 33, 33.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I don't think it necessarily takes away from the idea of it being a big three because they're both still... For the way that team operates, they're very integral. Like, we talked about it. We did the, funny enough, again, the top 10 shooting guard and small forward rankings for him. If you could build a second option.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
It's probably just going to be Jalen Williams. The guy that doesn't need the ball to be effective, but when you throw him in pick and rolls and ISOs, he's still an incredibly effective player. I think when you pair that next to Shea and with how Chet operates, and I don't know if everybody's been watching, Chet looks like a different player this year.
Yeah, he's looking really
like
good.
The leap I think a lot of people expected from Evan Mobley, I think Chet's actually taking that leap offensively. The form looks a lot better. He looks more confident offensively putting the ball on the floor. He looks like he grew up, honestly. Like, he literally just looks like a
player. I mean, I'm not going to the biggest thing is his shooting looks back to like what I kind of expected watching him at Gonzaga and coming out the draft. Like, he was a legit 40% shooter over there. Yeah. And he's, as of right now, I believe he's back to shooting about 40% from three. And it's like, yeah, man. Like, I think he had a really down shooting season in and out of, like, playing games because of the injuries and all that kind of stacking up on him. I think him getting back to being a real floor spacer, especially coming off of the horrible shooting he had in the playoffs. I remember him and Miles Turner were going, like, brick for brick, bro. That shit was horrible in the especially in the finals, like, shit was terrible. And just him getting back to being like a real, real spacer, I think is so huge for his
I
want to
say he's averaging 20 a game this year so far.
He's giving you 20 points on 50, 40, 90 splits.
Yeah, he's shooting like career high, like nuts, across the board, pretty much from every area of the floor.
Yeah. Like that's a special player, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it definitely is.
Yeah, actually, no, I'm looking at it. He is shooting a career high from every division on the floor.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to a year. We got injured his rookie year, so it's technically
year four. He's in year four. Yeah.
Year four is a new year.
For him, actually, it is.
For him, actually,
it is. Play year one. I was going to say, because this isn't to the big three topic, but we probably wouldn't talk about this otherwise. A.J. Mitchell has looked really good for the Thunder this year. I put up his numbers. He's averaging 16-4-4 on 45-32-91 splits, which becomes a 55-2 shooting. He started five games for them this season.
What pick was he?
He was second round.
Yeah,
he was second round.
Yeah, I think he was at either end of the...
I'll look it up.
He was in the 30s. I know.
No, he was for sure second round.
He was early second, I want to say. Because they signed him. They re-signed him to that deal quickly.
Yeah. You're right.
Because
he was the 30th overall pick. Then he was... Wasn't he funny? But he wasn't even drafted by the OKC. New York drafted him and then traded him to OKC.
He was like 30 in one of those defunct years, wasn't he? Or like...
You said...
Oh, because I don't remember.
I don't know.
I know he was a second rounder. I know that because that's how they got him on.
But he was in 2024. But the point I want to make with bringing him up is like this Thunder team has this amazing big three and SGA Shet and J-Dub who they all, they drafted and have grown up together. And now they're champions and they're looking like they're not slowing down anytime soon. And then you keep hitting on second round pick guys like A.J. Mitchell who under different circumstances could be like, I'm not going to say he's not my infamous, what was it, still doing the Pacers, bro.
Nimhard.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say he's not a Nimhard breakout candidate on difference. But like you put AJ Mitchell on a team that could prioritize him a bit more, and this is a good basketball player, and he's the guy that got in the second round. So for a team that you know is gonna be pretty top heavy pretty soon, once Shet and J Dub's extensions kick in, they keep hitting on second round picks like AJ Mitchell, and then I don't know if y'all want to jump to the Clippers because they have the Clippers pick this year. The Clippers have not been good. Yeah. And so they're probably going to bring in another guy who could fit the rotation.
That ain't going to be no second round pick.
Yeah, it's going to be a top, probably at this point, what is it? Is it top five?
No, I think right now it's fourth. I want to say it's the fourth or fifth pick.
It's the fourth or fifth pick.
Tankathon has them.
The Clippers are 4-10 right now as they're recording this.
Like
So funny enough, if the draft were to take place.
Oh, man, I forgot how bad of a tankathon war this is right now.
Y'all say, if it were to take place today, right now, everybody stops where they are, the Thunder would have pick 9 and pick 10 via the Clippers and the Jazz, respectively.
Yeah.
So,
Utah.
I'll be honest, right there.
I think the Utah obviously tanks their way up to that pick in protection. Yeah.
Clippers,
I think it is a lottery pick.
They about to come home, gang.
There's a freak chance. It jumps into the top four.
The fact that they're at 9 right now scares me because we've talked about this. If you look historically since they flattened it, 9 and 10 or the two picks.
I ain't gonna lie, Adam Silver, bro, do me a favor. Do not read
these.
Those are the two picks that always jump, 9 and 10. One of them jumps. So that is kind of terrifying to think about.
Yeah. Because
you're not talking about adding in, no disrespect to AJ Mitchell. You're not talking about AJ Mitchell. You're talking about, at worst, Caleb Wilson.
This particular draft where you have Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer, and AJ DeBons, the top of the class. Not only does that mean the top of the class is better, it pushes everybody else down.
Yeah.
So guys who would have went top three in a different class are now going to go like 7-8 because Darren Peterson, AJ DeBonsta, and Cam Boozer are the top three of the class. So it's ridiculous. Yeah. You get a top 10 pick this year, you're walking out with a really good pick.
The big three we have saving us from that potential future of Kawhi, Harden, and Zubac.
When they play together, they're really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, really we have good. Some positives.
Man, I need that
like,
Kawhi.
When they're on the court, they're plus 9 and 1,884 minutes for the last couple of seasons. So I think they are like a synergistic trio. It's just their injuries.
One of the trio is.
Yeah.
It's not a trio.
It's not Zubac. It's not Harden. It's the guy that's just not on the court very often for them. And
as of right now, it is just like, you see that team, and we talked about it in the preview and all of the top 10s that we did when we talked about Kawhi and the Clippers. Man, it's, Unk's going to Unk at some point, bro. folks is going to be old. And like, it's okay, it happens. But the fact that like, we were all kind of concerned with like the big injuries, like what if Kawhi gets hurt? What if Harden gets hurt or Zubac? Man, the fact that they lost Derrick Jones Jr. for the next 6 weeks stinks for them.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, he wasn't good for them yet, but the fact that they lose Bradley Beal, they're not even playing Chris Paul. Like, the guys that you brought in.
I'll say Brook Lopez and Chris Paul do not look good at all.
Right? Yeah, they look like, unplayable right now. I'm not going to lie.
And
just being nice.
You're supposed
who would have known?
Who would have known? But you're supposed to be able to rely back on the idea of that big three you have. But some days it's a big one, some days it's a big two. maybe that one of the big three sits out because he just played the last five games, so now he's got to take a rest. They can't see the floor together. So, like, when they play together, it works. The numbers don't lie. Like, it works when they play. It's just they don't play anymore.
I need an ISO on Mr. Kawhi Leonard, and then I'm going to talk about James Harden in a second, man. I think I hate Kawhi Leonard, bro. I think I really do.
You should. Who's your hate watch on your agenda?
The Clippers. It was the Clippers.
And no, but you didn't have a player on there? You just had a team?
No, just the entire organization. And so far, it's looking pretty good. But, man, I think I hate Kawhi Leonard because I genuinely do not like the fact that this dude consistently leaves his team and his teammates out to dry just by not choosing to suit up. Right, he has an ankle injury right now, and it's one of those injuries where I think if this was a game seven in the playoffs, he'd be playing. And it's like, all right, that's cool, dude. If your team is afloat, bro, your team is sinking right now. James Harden, I'm talking about James in a second. James Harden is out there by himself, like struggling, doing everything he can, averaging a triple-double damn near, doing everything he humanly can to keep this team afloat. And one man at 36 years old, I think that's how he is right now, can only do so much. Bro, this is supposed to be your team, Kawhi Leonard. This is they put you on all the billboards. They circumvented the cap to sign you. This is supposed to be your team,
trees.
Your city. Yeah. And every single season, your team is sinking because you aren't there. And like it pisses me off because we have all these conversations about how Kawhi Leonard's this and Kawhi Leonard's that. And it's like, bro, he don't play. He's never there. I can't put him in the same conversation as Steph and KD and all those other guys from the 2010s. Because those guys actually play, and Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, they're hooping right now. They're playing well. Their teams are benefiting from their play. And here's Kawhi Leonard, who for some odd reason, year after year, we can just never rely on him to play basketball games. It is ridiculous. If I was a Clippers fan, I would hate him. I would genuinely hate Kawhi Leonard at this point in time, bro. We are being investigated right now because we chose to sign you. There's a world where we lose our draft picks, right? The league might punish us if they come out, and maybe they won't, but if they come out and figure out it was some foul play invested in how they signed him, we could be penalized from that. And it would be penalized for nothing because he doesn't play.
Yeah.
And then my next thing I want to say, and I'll pass it off, is with James Harden, right? Because I'm a James Harden fan. I see a lot of James Harden fans. Everybody's talking about, I feel bad for Harden. You know why I don't feel bad for James Harden? He chose to be here.
Yeah.
Who would have known that Kawhi Leonard wouldn't have been healthy? Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed that Paul George, A, wouldn't have been healthy, and B, would have shrunk in the playoffs? Who would have known? Like, what did you think was going to happen when you chose the Clippers, dude? I get you wanted to go home, but if your goal was to win, it wasn't the Clippers. And it's not a revisionist take. I said this at the time. I said, if you wanted to win, you should have stayed in Philly. Or if Daryl Morey disrespects you to that point, bro, go somewhere else. But going to the Clippers thinking that the year you got there was the year that Kawhi Leonard was going to stay healthy. The year that Paul George was going to stay healthy. The year that Paul George was not going to disappear in the playoffs. Dude, come on. I could have told you this was going to happen when you got there. So no, I don't feel bad for him. I love James Harden to death. This is the fate you chose. Now you're 36 years old. And I saw somebody say today, is this not kind of similar to what he had? It might be a little bit better because he has Zubac, who is still pretty good. But like, this is similar to what he had that last year in Houston.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, bro, go out there and figure it out.
And yeah, so
go ahead.
To touch on that, because that was the portion that I did want to speak on for the Harden stuff. We're talking about injuries and things not being sustainable. So up until this point in the season, he is on the ball 43% of the time. 43.1% to be exact. 2024 Luka was on the ball 43.9% of the time. So 36-year-old James Harden,
ridiculous dude,
is on the ball 1% less than the Luka Doncic that averaged 33-10-9
and went to the finals.
Yeah, like you're asking him to do way 36? Too much, man.
Yeah, it's
not sustainable.
He's gonna get hurt. Just
and even if he doesn't get hurt, he's gonna burn out.
Yes,
bare minimum.
One or the other.
Yes,
he's gonna burn out.
Then I blame Kawhi Leonard, man, because he shouldn't have to do this.
It's sad because James Harden was right about everything but the teams he chose.
Yep,
man.
Like he was,
and
right,
the decisions
like,
to leave when he chose.
Yeah, like he was right when Daryl Morey said, "I'm not gonna pay you. No, I deserve this money still." And he's playing right now. He deserves to be a guy that gets paid at that age. He chose the Clippers, and you leave Philly when. I get the relationship soured. He was never going to work with Daryl Morey again at that point. The timing of his career has always just been, it's to me a bit sad as a James Harden fan is really stuck. Like I own like most of his shoes. I'm stuck by everything that he's gone through. It's like, dang, you couldn't have waited two more weeks.
That net stuff, bro.
You could have waited a week, could have waited 2 weeks. Could have let some mandates fall into place first. couldn't have seen what like who got traded first in free agency, saw where things went. But it is funny to get back on the big three point of all of it. For a guy like James Harden, he is a very, very on-ball dominant player. To your point, 43% on the ball. I want to say he's first in isolations this year, ISO possessions, and like top five in pick and roll possessions this year.
That's James Harden. He's always going
to
be there.
Yeah, but when you compare that to another team in LA that has two guys that are three guys at this point that are also very heavy isolation, they are very heavy pick and roll guys in Luka, Reeves, and LeBron. You kind of see the numbers on that, and you kind of see why. All right, it might look better if one of these guys isn't on the court. It might look better if we're only playing two of these guys at the same time, because all three of your play types overlap, and they don't overlap in a way where I trust you to play off ball of this. I trust you to sit corner on this, honest. I think the only quote-unquote corner sitter you could throw there is probably Reeves. Like, they're all capable.
I'll be honest,
the
person
guys.
Who has to sacrifice their game at this point is LeBron.
He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, I'm saying he first off, he's the only one with the positional size, I think, to transition into a role other than the backcourt. And I think he's also just, I mean, age and attrition, man. Like, he had his debut yesterday, which I think was good. He played solid. He took 8 shots, right? He hit like 4 threes. He had 12 assists, 11 points. And he was uber efficient.
Just one turnover.
He played smart. Only one turnover, which he can do. I think that is, obviously he's not going to shoot like 4 of 6 every night from 3. Yeah. But I think like double-double with points and assists every night, low volume, low turnover. LeBron can do that. He's good enough to do that even if he was 50, right? Yeah. And it's just like, is that the best version of the Lakers though? Because I don't know. I'll be honest. When they first got Luka, the word on the street, at least, was like LeBron is going to be more of like a power forward kind of guy. And it seems like they're still using him as a point guard. Yeah. And to Dre's point, Reeves has really come into his own as an on-ball guard. Luka's Luka, obviously. And I think Luka can work with another on-ball guy. We've seen him at Kyrie. We've seen him with Jalen Brunson. I don't think he can work with two.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can work
with two. I don't think any team can function with two. And to that point, Luka, LeBron, and Reeves on the court, and obviously part of last year and only one game this year,
small sample,
it's negative 0.6 net. And you take any one of those guys off, and the net rating shoots up.
Skyrockets.
Yeah, any two of those three, and it works. So maybe run like a stagger.
If you look at like the other, like the big threes we have listed, like I think a common theme is one of those guys is a play finisher.
Yeah.
One of those guys isn't somebody that, like, in order for him to get his game off, he needs 4 or 5 dribbles, right? Like, OKC, Chet is obviously expanding his game. Play finisher.
Still play finisher.
Denver, Aaron Gordon is obviously, he looks otherworldly now, but for the most part, he's finishing plays off of what Jokic creates. Houston, I think we got two of them really in KD and Amen. We've seen KD be on ball more this year, obviously with Fred out. Cleveland, obviously Evan Mobley. Minnesota, you got Rudy. Golden State, Draymond's just kind of Draymond. And Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler at this point is definitely
Butler's
a play
finisher.
Butler's not
getting heavy creation.
Even the Clippers, Zubac's a pure play finish. He can get some post-up ISOs in there.
Like, he can operate in the post, but he's not operating as a hub.
Yeah, Kawhi's also a good off-ball.
He gets a seal, you throw it to Zubac, he gets a post move. Like, he's not, like, running offense.
The only big three that were, you wouldn't label any of these guys as a play finisher is the Lakers. Man. All three of them are ball-dominant, heavy on-ball usage guys. And in order for, if you want Austin Reeves to be Austin Reeves, you got to give Austin Reeves the ball. If you want LeBron to be LeBron, you got to give LBron the ball. If you want Luka to be Luka, you damn sure better give Luka the ball. So at some point, somebody's either got to sacrifice or sacrifices have to be made as a front office. I think it's too far gone for the Lakers at this point to say we're trading LeBron. I don't think anybody's going to trade away the meal ticket that is hosting LeBron James' retirement tour.
You can't trade LeBron.
But I don't know. There's something has to change, whether it's in terms of play style. I think J.J. Redick's a really good coach, but it's figuring out, I ain't gonna lie, elephant in the room. You got to figure out how to tell LeBron, go relax. Like, you got to figure out how to tell him.
I think LeBron will be okay with that, though.
I think he would.
The question is just, what does relaxing?
What does it look like? Because is it just relaxing your usage, or is it changing how you play?
Because I think he played relaxed yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
But relaxed LeBron was 11 points, 12 assists.
I mean,
right? What I think relaxed LeBron needs to be like, and this sounds weird, but like relaxed LeBron needs to be like 15 and like 8 boards, 4 assists.
He'll just score
play
more.
Play power forward.
I was going
to
say
like 20 and like 25 and 5 at like the 4 next to 8.
Okay. You said five. Because I was going to say, I don't know if he gets into like the 7-8 assists. I mean, sorry, rebounds category no more.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, he was.
They need him to.
He was coming off that sciatica, which is a pain in the half. But
yeah.
LeBron looks a step slower. And he started looking a step slower last season as well. He may not have that in him anymore to go out there and be the 27-7 guy. Like
I don't think he can do it consistently at all.
No. I think it's more likely that he leans more into what we saw last night with the playmaking and just being the best point guard LeBron he can be. No. But in terms of him being like a true power forward, doing like ideally you kind of want him to be like Draymond Green, where it's like he does the dirty work, cleans up the boards, kind of low use with the ball in his hands, and you know, impacts the game that way. But I don't think he can do that low usage Draymond thing. Maybe a couple years ago he could have, but today I don't know if his athleticism and where he's with his game. He plays, he reserves himself, right? If you watch the way LeBron plays, he's reserving himself. And Draymond's a bit kind of the opposite, right? Draymond kind of just goes out there, right? So,
but to Draymond, like, Draymond's never had any level of scoring responsibility at any point. LeBron still does. Like, we all, right now, gun to your head, do you expect LeBron to average more than 20 points this year?
Yes.
Yes. All of us. The fact that...
It's more like 24.
Do you know what the next highest person in their 23rd season has averaged?
Like 12.
Zero?
I don't think anybody's...
No one has made it here.
Like,
no
one. Yeah, that's true.
And we're all expecting this guy to walk in and be like 20 plus. Because like,
the oldest
player, that's what I'm saying. Like,
four-year college
guy. Like, I think it is a bit like crazy that like... We're still, the bar is still like...
Yeah, how is
LeBron's going to average like 25?
Yeah, I mean, he the GOAT, but... I think something, it was a play the Lakers ran last night that was really intriguing to me as how they could be used. They ran Bron out the post. Luka threw the entry pass to Bron in the post. I'm going to clip this and put this together. Luka threw the entry pass to Bron out the post. Reeves ends up cutting back door on it, and they had Aiden in the opposite dunker spot. They ended up fouling Reeves, but Aiden would have had a wide open shovel pass for a dunk. I think if you're going to use LeBron like that, more post hub, because we've all seen it. He's lost a bit of a step. Like, he's not blowing by people on a night-to-night basis. Well, he can. He's still LeBron James. He can do it. It's in his locker, but...
He can't drive
still,
much.
Yeah, and nor should
he. He shouldn't.
Yeah.
Nor should he be the guy that's, like, really your main driver of the basketball. If they're going to operate him out of, like, some post-hub stuff, some... It sounds... I don't want to disrespect him by saying this, but, like... I would kind of use him like Draymond. A lot of DHO hub stuff. Like,
offensively, you try to.
Like, maybe I don't want like 40-year-old LeBron screening as much as Draymond does, but just using him as like a playmaking hub, free throw line extended, top of the key. They've got some decent athletes on the Lakers. Rui's still there.
Jackson Hayes.
We'll see what they do with Vando.
LaRavia's pretty decent.
LaRavia.
I'm saying he's been looking pretty good.
Whenever they decide to play a Duthiero, like, they've got some athletes that I think you could run certain lineups with LeBron as like a post hub, a DHO hub. And see how it works from there, because he's more than smart enough to run it. He's going to make the right read 10 times out of 10.
Shout out to the right read.
Shout out to the right read. But yeah, I'm just, something's got to change, because there's no reason you should have that talented of a big three, and it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, when you look at the net rating, it's net rating. Their offense rating with them all on is 121.6, which is very good. That would be the best offense in the league if it held over the course of a full game. The problem is, the reason why the net rating is negative, 122 defensive rating. And that's the thing that they can figure it out offensively, and I think they will. I mean, I think they already have to a certain extent, but I think they'll for sure figure it out offensively. How do you make that work defensively, though?
It's a Luka Reeves backcourt.
LeBron who's a step slower.
LeBron
scaling down
forward,
and taking a step back on defense. Like, they need a front court guy who is going out there and grabbing 7-8 rebounds, who's going out there being a weak side guy.
So far, it's been dominating.
But it's on the wing.
Yeah, you need a perimeter guy.
It's supposed to be Vando.
He's unplayable offensively.
Vando, you can't play him. If you could combine Vando and Rui.
Oh, that's the greatest role player in the league.
Oh, my goodness. Like, they'd be in heaven. It's just, you got to play them both together, or you got to play neither of them. It's just, that's the one thing that kind of bothered me with their roster in the offseason. I like the LaRavia pickup. I was a big Duthiero fan in the draft. Man, they don't have a POA guy still.
Nope.
Like, a guy that, like, I throw in the starting lineup to just play POA defense.
They thought Marcus Smart would do it for him.
I will say,
he's been better than I expected him to be.
He's had a fairly good year.
But he's not
your primary.
Yeah,
he
like,
can't
I can't
POA.
I can't rely on Marcus Smart for 35 minutes of POA defense.
Yeah, not at all.
So
I was going to say, ideally, it should be one of LeBron or Rui, but neither of them are that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Just a very weird
that's connection. They have a bunch of overlap, I think, in their front court, which is also, because if you look like the and the small sample size, because early season, but you look at their net rating with Aiden and Rui on, it's bad. But when you take either one of them off, they're like plus like 10. And it's just because these guys, like, they have a bunch of good individual players that have wonky fits together, and I think it shows.
So, I mean, we could transition this. I think, is it fair to say I think the Denver Big Threes had the most outlier development this year?
Aaron Gordon's three-point shot.
Not even just a three-point shot.
He's just a better basketball player. I've never seen something like, I can't think of top of my head. Like, I'm going to say a year 10, what, 29-year-old leap?
I was going to say, because this is,
he in year 12?
He's averaging.
Yeah, he got drafted in 2014.
He was 14.
20 and 6 on 54-45-88 splits.
Yeah, like he's nuts.
Those splits would be like, oh, okay, it's because he's play finishing off of Jokic and stuff like that.
Nah.
No. They got him scoring.
Mind you, he's like dribbling.
He's taking 5.2 threes a night and converting them at a 45%.
How many of those are pull-ups? I bet you it's more than you think.
Let's look that up.
If you look at these free throw and three-point numbers, dude, this is absurd.
Absurd, dude.
Like, gang, in 2024, he was a 66% free throw shooter. He is shooting 88% right now.
I guess that's the perks of building a gym in your house, which...
Yeah, his
house is so nice. Like, y'all seen that? It's so cool.
It's ridiculous how nice his house is.
Yeah, he's constantly, I mean, working.
I be thinking, man, all y'all NBA players got all this guaranteed money. Why haven't you done this before? Why was he, like, the first word we, like... We saw and was like, oh, there's immediate improvement. Like, yeah, just like you sleep with a basketball. Like,
I pulled it up for you, Usit. On 3.3 catch and shoots, he's shooting 51% from three. And then on 1.5 pull-ups, he's shooting 39% from three.
I mean, still, that's still like...
That's almost two pull-ups a game, 40%. Do y'all realize how nuts that is?
I ain't gonna lie, yeah.
That's like...
For a third option.
Bro.
That's kind of nutty.
Like, the best shooters in the league. Like, I think Donovan Mitchell led the league in pull-up percentage a couple years ago. And it was like 3 on 39%. If he said 2 on 39%, that's nuts. Like, that's inhuman.
He just zapped Cam Johnson's powers. That's the
I wanted to bring that up. I was going to say, because we all had the Nuggets as a team that won the offseason, and two would be one of the biggest threats to ultimately win the whole thing.
I think they still are.
But one of the biggest reasons why we said they won the offseason and why we thought they were going to be a threat to win was because of Cam Johnson. And I should have pulled his numbers up.
He's broke, bro.
I don't know what happened to Cam Johnson.
He looks so, when you watch the games, he just looks so unassertive. Bro, like, it just, like, it's like he's overthinking how to play with Jokic.
You know what I think maybe I didn't give MPJ enough credit for? We mentioned about, like, you need play finishers. And you mentioned, like, Cam Johnson.
Oh, the play finishes with Michael Porter
Jr. MPJ wasn't thinking at all. Like, he catches the ball, shoots the ball. And honestly, maybe they need that. Because I think Cam Johnson is just, like, in his own head right now. There's nothing in MPJ's head.
He went from last season, I'm going to round up and round down here, 19 points per game to 8 points per game.
Yeah.
4 rebounds per game to 3 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game to 2 assists per game. And then he went from 48 field goal percentage to 39 field goal percentage. He shot 39% from 3 on 7 attempts in Brooklyn last season. This season, he's shooting 29% from 3 on 4 attempts per game. He's shooting 89% free throw line last year, 83% of the free throw line last year, 63 true shooting last year, 50 true shooting this year.
I think the shooting will regress to the mean.
It has to regress.
But it is still, like, his style of play does look, and it's obviously, it's going to be different going from Brooklyn where you have all that freedom to play next to Jokic.
Yeah.
But I've seen him be a role player before. Obviously, being a role player next to a Devin Booker, Chris Paul, is different from being a role player next to Jokic. Yeah. You're just getting a different type of looks, but...
Should be easier.
When I've watched the games, it just feels like he's overthinking everything. Like, he gets the ball, and it's like, you would have shot that in Brooklyn last year. Just shoot it. They didn't trade for you for no reason. They gave up a first to get you. Yeah. Shoot the ball.
And arguably, I mean...
It's a valuable one.
Yeah, I was going to say, man...
Because that'll be... Ideally, or Fred Brooklyn,
I'll say
end of Jokic's.
Jokic is probably tenure. Because I know, like, Jokic is probably the type of guy who's going to play for a long time. He's probably going to get in and get out.
So it could be, but I will say, when it comes to, I guess, on the big three topic in general, I think that's why it's kind of important to have a legitimate third option, is that when a guy like a Cam Johnson, in this instance, who I think everybody expected it, he wasn't going to average 20 on his team, but you expect him to be around like 14.
The fourth best player on the team,
like,
for sure.
14 a night on efficient shooting.
To be better MPJ, honestly.
You expect it to be an upgrade over MPJ.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, we could pull up MPJ's numbers.
Oh my God. He's passing.
I think part of...
He's passing now.
He's averaging like 5 assists like the last like 7 games,
he's,
bro.
Jordy Fernandez is just the greatest. He's just the best coach in the NBA.
Also, I think part of why you make the trade, not only because you think Cam Johnson is better than MPJ, he's also making like half as much money, which went out there and allowed you to go out there and sign the Bruce Browns, the what's the big they got from the Kings?
Valanciunas.
Yes, who's been really good. I don't know why people slept on that acquisition. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been really good for them as well. These are all additions you were able to make because you were able to slice that MPJ salary in half. It's just like, if only you could have MPJ, but like with all these additions, and then Cam Johnson, like you'd want that to be the case, and Cam Johnson hasn't been that guy.
Yeah, he just really hasn't. And
it hasn't stopped them, though. They're still really good.
I think that's why that's why Aaron Gordon is so important, because if Aaron Gordon wasn't this year's version of Aaron Gordon, they'd still win games. They have Nikola Jokic on their team, but
yeah,
it'd be a lot uglier.
It would be.
It'd be a lot uglier if I didn't have, all right, AJ, you got this play. Because I think a lot of the expectation was going to be like, I'm kicking this to Cam. Cam can run a pick and roll. Cam can hit this spot up shot. Cam will make the right decision. And I'm not saying he hasn't been making the right decisions. Just shots just have not been falling for him at all. And you don't really notice it as much because Aaron Gordon's not missing.
Yeah.
He's just not missing a shot. He's just making everything.
He's not missing anything. He shouldn't. Yeah.
Shout out to the Bulls for giving him an out.
The Nuggets are like an interesting case for a quote unquote big three. Because they don't do it in the way that you would assume that a big three is made. Obviously, like when you hear the term big three, is three-star players coming together.
Yeah.
But most people would not, like, if you look at Jamal Murray's numbers.
He's never been an all-star.
You wouldn't look at that guy and say, that's a star. And then, for sure, you look at Aaron Gordon's numbers, you wouldn't look at that guy and say, that's a star. I mean, this year you would.
This year you would, but.
It's so crazy. But other than this year, like, you wouldn't look at him and say, that guy's a star, but. Since Aaron Gordon's got there, they have a plus 15 net rating when all three of them play. And that's the highest of anybody on this list, including the OKC Big Three. And it kind of just it shows you how much fit sometimes matters over just having raw talent. Because you can have, like, I mean, the Lakers trio is probably the most talented
trio.
For sure,
more talented.
For sure.
But they have by far the worst net rating. And it's because they don't fit together as well as Denver's Big Three does. Okay,
even though it's two guys that are just objectively role players.
Even our Big Three, to a certain extent, like all of those fit better. And so they produce better results.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I think you could argue Şengün and Amen are. Not as good as Reeves and LeBron at this point, honestly.
I
ain't gonna lie, nah. I wanted to.
I have the perfect segue. Right? So the Thunder and the Nuggets have lost 4 games. 3 of them came from Denver, 1 of them came from OKC.
I know where this is going.
50% of those losses were to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Houston Rockets beat the Portland Trail Blazers 140-116. Are we the best team in the league?
I know you beat them so bad. They had a player you can't, beaten, bro.
You can't transitive property.
They did have a players only meeting after, bro.
They did have a
I saw it was like, we're not. I saw Jimmy Graham, we're not panicking. Just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Players only meeting 3 weeks into the season?
Yeah, that was pretty
We beat
funny.
Them so bad.
They weren't
bad.
Even doing bad before
they played. They weren't.
They say they beat the Nuggets and beat the Thunder.
They also beat the Warriors.
Yeah. No, they were. They were having a really good week.
Yeah, I ain't lie. Really good week. What did Steve Kerr say about the court? Like, it looks like you're descending into hell.
Descending into hell.
That's just what happens, man. Welcome to Houston.
Yeah.
I mean,
our home cup games with that red court, I think we're undefeated.
I think, we're undefeated on the red court.
We have not lost on the red court.
Oh, no, because we didn't have a court the first year, I don't think. Mm-hmm.
No.
The only time we lost at home is to the
first year we had that ugly red
nasty blue.
Yeah.
It was nasty.
We went full red. We beat the Warriors at home last year.
We lost to the Clippers in 2020.
2024.
Yep. But since then, we have.
I will say, in regards to our big three, I think it's interesting to call it a big three right now.
Yeah, it's a big two.
I was gonna say
it's a big two and a half.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I was gonna say this, and I mean this as no troll. The last few games, KD, Şengün are on there. Is the third not Reed?
I was gonna say it's only Reed. Not
I'm gonna say three might be Reed as of lately.
Yeah, because Amen has not been. Man, we've had so many conversations about this point. A man got to wake up a little bit, bro. Like, with all due respect, like, we brought up the synergy numbers. He's one of the best isolation players in the league.
In the league.
Do you know how many, credit to DeAndre, do you know how many ISO possessions he's had the last 5 games?
4?
Just 1 a game.
5
total. But no, it's not like 1 a game. It was 4 against Portland, One against San Antonio, zero the rest of the game.
That's ridiculous, dude.
Like, yeah. That can't happen with him.
For a guy who's like 90th percentile in isolation.
And one of those games was the Wizards game, I'm assuming, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Where he had CJ McCollum guard.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just like, come on, dude.
It's not a lack of ability. It's a lack of assertiveness. And I think he's just in his head. We talked about Cam Johnson being in his head. I think he's in his head on both ends right now. Because let's be honest, his defense also hasn't been, I don't think he's been a bad defender. I just don't think
he's been a Ben Thompson.
Yeah. Like, I'm used to him being like one of the best five defenders in the league. And I just don't think he's been that this year. Yeah.
Not at all. He might get that nod just off of PR and the Rockets being one of the best defense. But the best defender on our team has been Josh Okogie.
Yeah. Shout out J.O., man.
Shout out Josh Okogie.
The best defender on the team has been 28. Yeah, it might be Shingun.
It might be Shingun.
In terms of perimeter defense, it's Okogie, but total defense, it probably is Shingun.
We'd be asking 28 to play.
Oh, my goodness. That's the...
To what you were saying, though, I think with Amin, number one, I disagree vehemently with people who are saying that it's because he's running point guard. That's not what's happening. He doesn't run point guard for the team. Shingun and KD are more closer to point guards for this team than Amin is. I think it's what you were saying. I think Drace kind of hit the nail as well with this. I don't think he's sure of himself. I don't think he trusts his handle the way we would want him to. And I think he is not used to being asked to be the third in the big three, right? He's used to being like fourth, sometimes even fifth option. Now it's like, dude, no, you're the third. You're taking the third most shots. Now the team like needs you to do that. And there's a different level of comfort knowing, okay, I'm going to get my buckets on the flow of the team versus now it's like, we need you to force the issue.
Yeah.
And I think he's learning how to force the issue and being confident in that. So that's one reason why, like, I'm not concerned, despite the fact that he has been playing, quite frankly, pretty bad this season. I'm not quite concerned just yet because I think he's adjusting and learning his role on the fly. Is it something bad?
Oh, I mean, look at that, bro.
Oh, man.
Like, he on Synergy, he's grading out as excellent.
Excellent in ISOs.
Oh, it's across the board.
Excellent. Across the board.
The lowest percentile across all different types of isolation that he has, if I'm not mistaken, is like 88th.
88th, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 88th exactly. And that's excellent. Like, when the defense commits. It drops to 88th percentile.
Yeah, from 94th, including
94th.
Pass.
Like,
that's the thing that honestly upsets me the most, because it's not like you're bad. Like, it would be a different thing if you were incapable, right? Because if I'm asking you to do something you can't do, that's my fault for having expectations that you cannot hold. But, gang.
Sorry, thank you.
And mind you, it's not just this season. Last season, he was also a very good isolation player.
He was a good
ISO
player last year, too.
His isolation numbers actually went up in terms of volume and efficiency in the playoffs against the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm asking you to do is do that a little bit more. And instead of two times a game, I need like four.
Yeah, like...
Because KD right now, he's taking what? I want to say he's like top 15 in pick and roll volume.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's taking 7 ISOs a game, and that's 93rd percentile.
Yeah, like, and you got him running 12 pick and rolls, 7 ISOs, man. That can't hold. Dude, he's 37. That can't hold.
That's the thing when we talked about this offline. Offline, Lord. We talked about this off air in Discord about it. Shingun at some point has to be given
free. He's going way too much.
He is averaging 6 ISOs a game. He's averaging 5 PNRs a game. And he's averaging 9 post-ups a game.
This guy is such a...
That's a lot, gang.
He's doing a lot.
And he leads our team in rebounds.
Yep.
And he leads our team in assists.
He also leads our team in field goals defended.
He leads in box outs. He leads in field goals defended at the rim.
Assists, potential assists.
I think it's looked better than his box scores, say, every single time. Like, because that
I ain't gonna lie. The net rating point that out, gang.
I was saying, because that doesn't illustrate the walk down on, like, Giannis or, like, the game we had against the Magic where he got the clutch block and then went down and hit a game-tying shot to send it to OT. Like, it's... He's ridiculous, dude.
That was some real star-ish.
He's ridiculous, man.
But yeah, I mean, okay, good transition here. We play this team tonight at the time of this recording.
Oh.
This is another very, very overwhelmingly positive net rating team with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You got Spida, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, who's good for 18-8 every year without fail. Because model of consistency, we hate consistency now.
He didn't let me down, bro.
Yeah, he should be better.
And then Darius Garland, obviously. So I guess this trio definitely fits together.
Absolutely.
It's just, I think their auxiliary pieces are what is, I feel like holding the roster back is strong, but kind of limiting their ceiling a bit. Like, I think for this team to reach its full potential, you have to run Mobley as a sole five. And I think Will has been saying that. And it's not because Allen is bad by any means. I think Allen, in his own right, is a very, very good five defender. But I think it puts a ceiling on what you can do as a team when you have a offensively limited front court. And
yeah, I think you minimize the value that Evan Mobley has if he's just being a power forward.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, the what I've been critical on Evan Mobley for and the Cavs for is you're an exceptional defender. You're exceptional at attacking smaller guys.
Also a real floor spacer, by the way.
Yes, he's like also, this is like his third.
Yeah.
At this point, shooting 37%+.
Yeah, like real, actual good shooter.
And all of these are good traits at the four, and that's why you're a DPOY and, you know, All-NBA second team. But, dude, if you do these things at the five, we're talking about a guy who's, like, legitimately pushing, like, MVP candidacy. Because if I get all of the floor spacing, if I still get DPOY-level defense, you're anchoring my defense as the sole five, and I can put smaller guys around you, I can then, like, diversify who I put out there offensively, put more spacing out there.
More POA perimeter guys.
Yeah, put more wings out there.
Help your backcourt out there.
Because you can hold up as the five. Then that's that unlocks the ceiling of the team so much. And right now, as it stands, I mean, they're in a position, they're going to farm regular season, especially in that conference.
Yeah,
they're going to farm regular season wins. It's never going to be a problem. Their net rating is going to be high. They're probably going to win 60 games again, if not, because they're like resting guys. They'll be really close to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come playoff time, it's going to come down to the fact that your best lineup is with that guy at the five, and you're going to run into a team that makes you have to play that guy at the five, and you don't do it that much as it is. So when you do it, you're going to go from doing it 30% of the time to, oh, no, Jared Allen's going to get pretty much DMP'd in some of these games.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're equipped for it yet, but they should be.
I think they're also missing the idea of Ty Jerome for the roster, especially considering Darius Garland is going to be up and down with injuries. I think they tried to somewhat supplant that with Lonzo, but Lonzo isn't really that type of guard. He's kind of more of a wing right now, to be honest with you. He's more of a...
It's all connective stuff.
Yeah. He's not really creating advantages. He's kind of taking advantage of advantages that were created for him. And I think they're missing someone like Ty Jerome, who hasn't played this year for the Grizzlies. But, you know, we saw what he did for the Cavs last season. I think they're missing just that piece on top of what Isaiah was saying.
Yeah, shout out to Tyrese.
I ain't gonna lie. We've been real nice to Evan Mobley. He been garbage this year, bro. Yeah, like, we've been real nice, gang. And I'll eat crow on this one because I said this on the pod. I think I had him ranked above LeBron. Not I think. I had him ranked above LeBron or our power forward.
I had him above shit.
And a large part of that was because I thought he would take a bigger leap as in self-creator. Like, I really thought he would take a way larger leap than he hasn't even taken one this year. He's just been bad as self-creator.
He's been the same, yeah.
He's been worse.
Worse, yeah.
That's the problem is he's been worse doing it. Like, his ISO numbers, he's had 11 ISO possessions, whatever, 0.4555. Points per possession on that. Poor. Fifth percentile in the league. But then you go to his post-up stuff, and it's like, all right, you're supposed to have this. Dang, 0.864, below average. Like, a lot of the stuff that he's being asked to do at times, he just can't do it in the half court. He's shooting 52% at the rim in the half court. That's
nasty.
Bad.
That's nasty for a footer.
That's bad. Like,
for a footer.
I can't even blame it on, like, the Jared Allen spacing. I mean, they run him at the five in some lineups.
Yeah.
He just hasn't
he's also just been worse.
Yeah, he just hasn't been finishing at the rim the way that I expected him to. He just hasn't taken the self-creation leap that I thought he would. When Garland gets back and stabilizes, he's going to get fed his 14
his numbers
points tonight.
Go back up.
Like, he's going to get fed 14 tonight. The floor spacing is obviously just super valuable for a guy that size. But I don't know, bro. You was supposed to, like, Chet took your chain.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real with you, bro. Like, Chain really got stats.
I thought we would see more self-creation from Mobley by now. Because, like, you look at a lot of, like, the things he works on in those workout videos from the offseason, it's like, oh, this is the year where he's going to start taking off the dribble, different stuff like that, and it's just not.
It's also kind of odd for someone who, I remember when he was coming out pre-draft, my big thing was, like, you always bet on a guy that size with that level of fluidity.
Yeah.
And it's translated really well on the defensive end. And I remember the offensive end, him coming out, the big thing was like, oh, don't look at him like a big, look at him like a wing.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have like a wing move set.
Yeah.
But like, he kind of doesn't do that on offense.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's odd, yeah.
He had like a really weird, shout out to CIF High School Basketball. He had like a really weird development path. Like, he was a point guard in high school. Like, they legit ran him at point guard at Rancho with Compton Magic. Gets to USC, he's playing with his brother, so he's a four again. Like, he's playing power forward. He's playing a college big man four. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then you get to the league, you're four again because you've got Jared Allen next to you. And
She's playing some three.
He's playing some three at times.
You got
all, when
you
the Lowry's
in the backcourt. Yeah. You had an all-star center next to you. So like you're just
did he have a year with Lowry?
Yeah.
Plus, they had first year, right. Had a year with Lowry. Like
they were running his zone. They had him at the top of the
Yeah. Like so he's. He has been asked to do non-big man things, but to your point, offensively, like, I don't need you to do the guard stuff when I got not two regular guards. I got two all-NBA guards.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, those are two top 25 players that can like go get me 20 a night. He's still
I mean, he's still Donovan Mitchell.
He's still Donovan Mitchell. I can't hate that much. But, like, yeah. You know, I got two of them guys back there. I don't need you to do this stuff, but you were supposed to be – I said it with Amen Thompson in our Discord call – I think he's behind schedule at this point, man. Just in terms of what I expected from the self creation stuff. Is he bubble screen too?
Yeah, he might be like out route.
Okay. You're running out of me.
He's an example of a player that like, and this sounds so backwards, but he's been like, you could argue he's been like over insulated.
Ooh,
like,
Hear me out on this, right? Like,
argue, bro.
To like for Şengün, for example, right? Şengün kind of had to get. Everything yeah. out the mud.
He got out the mud. Right?
And I think because of that, now he's playing next to someone who does kind of help him out with KD more than like he's been helped in the past.
Yeah.
And he's like breaking out. It's like, oh, he's averaging like 23, 10, and 8. And it's just because he can just play his game.
And one and one.
Yeah. And two stocks, right?
Shout out to the stocks. Man.
Mobley kind of, because he has never
he's
been
never had
asked
to
do comfort,
that,
yeah.
he kind of never developed the need to do it. Like he can go out there, be 18 and 8, be a depoy winner. Yeah. And win 60 plus.
I need a bucket out the post.
Yeah. Like but he doesn't need, no one's ever asked him to, like, he's never been relied on to do that. It's like, so, like, in a way, I think, it's a big philosophical debate, like, reps versus, like, being around positive players. Like, what, and I think he might be the first real argument of, like, no, we put too many positive players around this guy, and he didn't get the reps.
It's not like a ceiling. Like, we know what Evan Mobley's ceiling is. We know what he should look like. I get it, summer workout videos. I've seen those summer workout videos.
Yeah.
He looks like a monster. Because that's kind of what we thought he was going to be by this point is you're this DPOY guy on the defensive end playing center. And on the offensive end, it's times where I can just throw you the ball. And he'll make something happen. I will say something I'll give him credit for. His passing has been really good this year.
He's been really good passing out the post this year.
I'll give him credit for that.
He's
just the scoring. And we've talked about that with like, this is a totally different topic. I don't want to like branch off into that. But like when you watch like Cameron Boozer, man, he don't score. So why should I respect your passing? But you're a really good passer.
It has to.
I think at some point it's going to be treated that way with Mobley of like, well, if I know you can make that skip read, but I know you can't score on me, to your point, I'm just going to stay home, get a bucket. It's the reason why, to get back to Şengün, why he's so valuable and why it opens up for Kevin Durant, why you can get away with Amen Thompson in the dunker spot, why you can get away with running Steve-O dunker spot with double big is, all right, you can't really play me one-on-one because I'm going to get by you, especially if it's a little guy on me because I'm running double big. If I get a cross match here, I'm going to score this, or your big man cannot guard me one-on-one. You got to help over. That guy has to go fast.
It starts, it starts the whole offense. Like, basketball isn't as complicated, I think, as we make it sometimes.
It's so simple.
Like, it starts as, like, if you can't guard me with one person, what do you do? And the whole offense kind of flows off that. I mean, look at these people that have the top offense of the league, like SGA, Jokic, like Luka, these guys that, like, you're sending doubles at them, right? Like, and it's just,
you got to pick your poison at that
point. You got to pick your poison.
Yeah, I think so with the Evan Mobley thing, and we can't move off because we have been talking about the Cavs for a while, but I think the thing that was the issue there is he came into the league insulated, and I don't think that was an issue. But I think at a certain point, you have to look at this guy and you have to say, I am treating you like this star player. Obviously, I gave him a max.
Yeah.
I got to start giving you star player responsibility. Yeah. And I think for them, that is him playing a fight. And the thing that frustrates me about it is, I mean, when you look at any of their, like, really huge games, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Any time they play in the playoffs, literally since they started making the playoffs, he's playing a five, with the exception of the Knicks series. When they played the Celtics, he was playing the five. They started missing Jared Allen, and he was everything that Dre was talking about him doing. That's what he was doing. Last year against the Pacers, a little bit different because guys were injured, but he's playing a five.
Yeah.
Some of the games last year when they were winning all those games, when they played other top teams, when they played the Thunder, when they played the Pacers, when they played the Knicks, he was closing games out whole fourth quarters at the five.
Yeah.
So I know you can do it. everything that we're talking about him doing, he's done it before. The thing is, he just needs to do it full time. And they need to make him do it full time.
Is that the question? You think, can he do it 33 minutes a night, 82?
Let's find
out. He should.
I'm going to say, at this point, you got to try.
He's getting paid. Yeah. Like, you got to make him do it.
Because I will say this, and I hope we get an episode about this one day. Power forwards don't exist anymore.
They don't.
You don't pay power forwards.
They don't.
You pay centers. You pay wings. If I'm paying you to be a power forward, my roster got other issues. Yep. They paid him with the expectation, to your point, of
to be a five.
Being a five. At some point, I will say, you got to put a plug on his Jared Allen stuff, get the value from him while you can.
Wing aspects to his game.
Jared Allen's also a very good player. You're going to get a lot back from him. Yeah. He's a very good center in his own right.
You have three all-stars around him, like actual all-stars. Like Jared Allen,
bro, Jared Allen's defensive numbers are insane.
Insane. Like, it says it a lot that Mobley, in his own right, is a defensive caliber of the year player. Like, he's one DPOY, and you take him off the court, put Allen on, and their defense is still elite.
It's still,
it's basically the
I think it's like a, it might be worse this year, but I know, like, last couple years,
it's like a one point
drop, if that. Like,
that's like, all right, we can
move on to the other team that has a I guess you could say a big who was really good in his prime, but may not be so good, as good as he was in his prime anymore. The Minnesota Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle, and Rudy Gobert.
I'll need Crow on this. The Randle fit in Minnesota has been a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Bro.
Julius Randle has been so good. And I know fans were mean on him in the playoffs last year. Dubious handle.
Dubious handle? Julius Randle?
By the way, we have to do the slander episode.
We will do that at some
We have
point.
To. That's,
I think that's my favorite slander nickname. But like... Dubious handle. And I think I know he's had his warts, especially
that's a classic, bro.
Yeah, like he's had his warts with the Knicks in the playoffs and things like that. But is it crazy to say I think he was their best player in the first round series last year?
Yeah.
Against the Lakers?
I think
against
he might have been a best player against who did he play? The Warriors in the second round?
Yeah, you can argue that, honestly. And it's just like he's fit so well with Ant in a way that I did not see anyone fitting with Ant that came with like Randall's skill set. Because Randall is more ball dominant than I think people realize.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's
really adapted.
He's a point forward, especially with the way Finch is running them. He's a point forward essentially on that team. Yeah. Shout out to Outlandish Take. something that we had discussed about the idea of putting somebody next to Ant. I think the hyperfixation of like a scoring guard is he needs a point guard next to him.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to see
the point forward.
I don't think you need a point guard. You just need a ball handler.
You need a point guard.
Like, you just need like
you need someone else that can create.
Yeah, like literally anybody. He doesn't have to be, he would probably prefer for it to be a pass first guy, but you just gotta have somebody next to him that can create an advantage and that isn't a massive size mismatch. Mm-hmm. Or for size mismatch for your team defensively.
It's why SGA and J-Dub fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like neither one of them are a point guard. They're both like.
No, but
very
like I think SGA
players,
is like
but,
the typical like, scoring guard right now.
He's a shooting guard moonlighting as a point guard.
Yeah, he's a shooting guard who's so good, he gets the usage.
Yeah, you have to give him
point
guard reps.
But the reason Dub fits so well for him, bro, Dub will get out in transition, Dub will drive to the basket.
He gets a lot of like, role player baskets.
Yeah. But like a ton of them, and it's just because he's assertive, he knows what he's doing when he's creating, and that's all you need sometimes. And I'm not trying to diminish it.
That's a compliment if you ask me.
Yeah, like
because he gonna get him role player buckets, but at the same time,
he can still scale up. You can if SGA sits out a game or gets to go to the bench, you can still give Jaden.
I'm saying in no way is J-Dub a point guard.
No.
I think he fits obviously amazingly well with SGA, and I think similarly
with Randle. Yeah,
Randle kind of fits with Ant. And Ant, man, I'll eat crow on this too. He's played really well, but the playmaking leap I thought was
man, Devin Booker.
Oh yeah, I'm about to say. I remember who what everybody's list was looking like.
Yeah, there was one. I was the only person.
Number one wears number one in Phoenix. The North didn't forget.
Yeah. The North.
Randle is 93rd percentile in isolation.
No, he's been like hooping. Like a ridiculous
he's
level.
He's really, really good.
59 attempts in 14 games. I'm not gonna lie.
That's why I remember so well. Minnesota fans. I saw they were mad when they started Dante because it was like, you don't have a point guard. We don't have a point guard.
I'm glad he's 90.
Y'all aren't running a point guard offense at all.
Yeah, you're not.
You know, like, and then they don't have one.
Also, yeah, they really don't have one.
I'm like, you want to talk about someone who got to hang it up?
Mike Conley.
I'm sorry, bro.
You a goat, Mike, but like,
yeah, like you one of the best, but like, gang.
Mike Conley is a year from retirement, and Rob Dillingham has not developed as fast as I think they would want him to.
Finch don't like him. That's the problem.
I was gonna say
Finch don't like him at all.
We can have that Rob Dillingham talk. I just think it's a mismatch of player and coach completely. Yeah. Because what Finch wants?
Yeah, they traded up two first round picks.
You traded two firsts for the guy.
I don't think Finch did.
And that's the problem. When your GM and coach clearly aren't aligned, at least on like the type of players you want on the roster, not gonna lie, it gets nasty. Because you traded two first round picks for a guy that
who's not playing.
Yeah. And it's because Chris Finch's whole mentality is, and again, I can't blame him. He's a really good NBA head coach. Yeah. His is based on physicality, defense, those kind of things.
That is not described.
And I'm just gonna
the opposite.
That's not what Rob Dillingham is.
I try not to read like too much into like the press conferences, but I do think there is somewhat of a good insight into these NBA coaches. Yeah. They get to be very raw and honest after games. Man, anytime they ask him about Rob, it's like, yeah, all right.
on the flip side, when they ask him about Berenger, bro, he'd be like,
Goodness, he's just so intelligent, so smart. I'm an 18-year-old like that. Terrence Shannon Jr. too.
Yep.
They talk about TSJ, and it's like, man, TSJ is going to be, we got to find more minutes for TSJ. What do I find more minutes for Rob? You know, Rob, you know, gain some weight.
No, he's like, Rob knows what he needs to do.
Yes, every
and it's also, like, Rob knows
what that's what Ime said about Cam Whitmore.
Yes,
he got traded.
Exactly. That's what you like. No, funny. That might be like a dead sentence in the NBA. Yeah. So, this player knows what he needs to do. I mean, y'all had combos before games.
I'm not gonna lie, because that's always the question where they're like, oh, why isn't this person getting more minutes? Like, what about his role? And it's just like, he knows why he's not.
We love him. Obviously, he's a very talented player. We brought him in here for a reason, but he knows what he needs to do. Yes. Oh, brother, get him out of here.
Shout out to Honest Head Coach prayer conferences, bro.
But yeah. But the third person in this trio who we haven't really talked about yet, Rudy Gobert.
Oh, Gogurt Stick. Okay. Swing and a miss. That was bad. I can't even get a fake laugh. Damn.
I
was gonna laugh and I just sighed. I can't.
You were gonna laugh. What is that? Gogurt Stick. It was a read.
I was gonna laugh for like the sake of the pod, but like Gogurt Stick.
You know what? Obviously, I'll take the L on that one. I'll take the
like Stifle Tower. There's like other nicknames.
No, but I was trying to make a slander name. It just didn't work.
Which is crazy because I feel like he's not.
Yeah, they're like,
I can't say Go Bells because we know what Go Bells.
Yeah, you can't say Go Bells.
I can't say Go Bells. That's what I was going to say, but like,
yeah.
They're actually better.
They're still good. Yeah, they're better this year.
Shout out Rudy. Oh, you're talking about his defensive numbers?
His on-offs.
Oh, yeah, no. He is still God's gift to rim protection.
No. This is my hot take. He's not God's gift to rim protection. He's obviously still very good. The other center is Naz Reid. I think when Rudy comes off the court, you put Naz Reid at the five.
That's why
his numbers are.
I was going to say, because I think he's still good. It just, when I watch him, it isn't like he's the same player that he was.
It's real matchup dependent. I will say, like, it's real. Like, when they played the Lakers game, you could tell they were like, oh my goodness.
Hey, what? You know what? I just pulled them numbers up, so I'm going to go and read these out real quick. So when Rudy is on the court, by himself, no Naz Reid, they have a 107 defensive rating. When Naz Reid is on the court without Rudy,
wait, let me guess, 126.
It's 126.5.
What I tell you? I'm telling you, it's not like Rudy's obviously very
minus
good.
-19.
Naz Reid just cannot guard anything.
When they're both on the court together, it's 108.2.
Bro, it's I'm telling you, Naz Reid just cannot guard. Yes. That's what it is. They don't have a backup center. He's their only center.
Berenger, bro, get ready.
Get ready. All me,
oh man, get ready, Berenger.
Yeah.
That is kind of ridiculous, though.
It's ridiculous. And it's why, like, they're kind of stuck with this roster. Seems mean for a roster that's been to back-to-back Western Conference Finals appearances. Yeah. But they can't make any moves. Because you can't move Rudy. Yeah. Any tradable salary, you're like, you're not trading Ant, obviously.
I'm
right?
Honest, you can't get rid of Randle.
I don't think at this point
you can't get rid of Randle. Yeah, Randle's too good, honestly.
Their only movable contract is Naz Reid, probably. Because I don't think they want to move Jaden McDaniels, though.
I'm not glad. Jaden McDaniels is playing well. Really
He's
well.
He's been
playing really well.
I think they like their nucleus. I don't think it should go this way. I think they're looking for they're looking for the Rudy replacement.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to
he's the guy who's
gonna come on time.
Yeah. Like if you can find a way to get like 85% of his defense, and shout out to Rudy Gobert. He's probably gonna be in the Hall of Fame because of all the DPOYs he's
won. He will.
But a better offensive player, I think that's the hope for Berenger, is like, because he's a freak athlete at that size.
I hope he's like plus defender.
That's the other thing, bro. Like, at this point, trade for the guy.
Because what Rudy's doing right now is, that's like, most of these defensive bigs, dude, once you hit like 32, it's kind of over.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not still good.
That's why when this summer, when the Timberwolves were in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, I was like, as crazy as this is going to sound, I don't think they should trade Rudy Gobert for Kevin Durant.
I think it makes their roster worse.
Actually, I lied. No, that would be a win for the Suns. I lied.
Oh, no, I'm
for the Suns. Phoenix
Phoenix was going to take that to the bank.
With Rudy Gobert?
Oh, my God. They take that to the bank.
But I was going to say, if you're the Timberwolves, I know Ant really wants his favorite player of all time. Gotta tell him no. Gotta tell him no.
You know who else said no? KD.
Yeah.
KD was like, oh, I'm gonna love playing with Root.
I get to play with, I gotta play center again. I'm out.
Yeah, nah, I gotta play five. Me and Nas?
Yeah.
Y'all bought in a new Nas? Okay, where?
I'm telling you, Nas Reed does not get vilified enough for how bad of a defensive player he is.
He might be the worst defender in the league.
He's like the coolest meme in basketball.
He's quietly like on that list, bro. And no one gives him the flame.
He escapes because he's not a guard.
Yeah, exactly. He escapes these kind of things.
He kind of is a guard, and that's the problem. That's the problem.
All his life.
I was going to say, he don't guard.
He really, shout out Jelly Fam.
Yeah,
shout out Jelly Fam.
All his life, man.
Y'all want to finish out with, Save the worst for last. Not even playing.
Nah, not the worst for last. I don't, honestly, the more I think about this team, the less I have to say. It's Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and instead of catch and shoot threes with Jimmy Butler, they just have smaller Draymond Green who's playing POA defense.
More scoring aggressive.
It's like Draymond and Curry, bro. If you've watched basketball the last 15 years, you know how that shit works. Like, it's handoffs, it's pin downs, it's running off of league screens.
That little big three, like, funny enough, it was 1 week into the season. People were like, oh, that Take You Out on the podcast is going to age well. When I had the Warriors, like, I remember I said the Warriors are going to be terrible this year. I said that they're old, they're going to be the 10th seed. And people were like, oh, you're tweaking. Because I think they started off like 3-0 or something. Yeah. Like, they started off really well.
I mean, they're going to start getting hurt.
That's what I'm like. Not even about just getting hurt. Just wait. They're old. Yeah. And the rest of that, shout out to him, because like he's probably going to have an NBA career now. Gang, Will Richard is like their fifth best player now.
I was going to say, there's the inevitable like stretch where Steph Curry is going to like cool off a little bit because he's been playing out of his mind so far.
Oh my God. Quietly. Shout out to my fantasy team.
He had that 47 bomb.
No, he had 240 bombs.
Yeah. So he had 240. No, he had like 34 and 10.
And then he had 34 yesterday.
Check his last game.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, OKC boxed him. OKC boxed him nasty.
Fairish. But, damn, that team is so good.
Yeah,
man. OKC box or something.
That team is so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like clockwork at this point. He's had that for the last almost, even when he was in his like MVP form, winning MVP, he still had 2 months outside of his MVP season where
everyone has. He's going to have a couple.
I mean, my thing with this team, and it's not even about the injuries, because for me, it was never about them being hurt. I believe that they could remain relatively healthy. My issue is, dude, like, their best players have to play too good to win games.
Yep.
But they suck.
Their roster's
old.
They stink.
Is like,
yo,
you're getting 30 pieces.
They didn't have a roster to like.
Quick tangent on this before we wrap this up. The amount of people that were tweeting about them getting Al Horford pissed me off.
Oh, my God.
They were like, oh, my God. Floor spacing five next to Curry.
He's not.
This is going to be insane. Bro.
I mean, they're going to get Seth Curry back pretty soon. Cool.
They have to re-sign him because they waived him.
Because they had to waive him to re-sign him.
That's how screwed that roster is financially.
I think the tail that you can see of a team that's like not going to do that great in the regular season. Dude, if my best players are going out there and giving me 30, 35, 40, and we're losing?
We're losing.
Yeah.
Because it's not just Curry. Dude, Jimmy's dropping 30 and they're losing. He just had, both of them just had 30 balls last night.
I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes we got to clown people openly, bro. You in the league, I'm not. Boo-hoo, whatever. Yo, Brandon Pajimski's terrible.
Nah, yeah.
He's one of the worst basketball players I've ever seen with my two eyes, bro. Yeah, the Shohei Ohtani, I want to be better than Steph Curry. I'm going to be on the Olympic team in 2028.
He wanted the team to be his team when they retired, bro.
He's garbage.
Yeah, nah.
Can you make sense of these numbers? This is ridiculous, bro.
Are you talking about the
Curry one?
Yeah, the Curry on without Jimmy and the team sucks.
I'll say Curry by himself with no Jimmy Butler, no Draymond Green, it's a negative 29.
That's insane.
I believe it because, bro, name the other four. It's probably
The other four players are like barely NBA players.
Brandon Pajimski, Will Richard, and Kuminga?
Because I'll say, because you insert Curry and Draymond, it's a plus 23.
It's corpses.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's corpses and G Leaguers. And
three players are not playing, if they cannot field Steph, Jimmy, Dre,
who are all 36 plus,
I'm not even going to hold you, bro. That's a G League roster. That's what that is.
They're playing and they're still playing good and they're still losing.
They're still losing.
It's nasty.
Like, bro, Curry had to drive, he had to drop 45 back to back against the Spurs for them to win those games, bro.
And to escape.
Yeah.
Mind you, Wimby, like, he played relatively well in one of the games. The other one, he didn't play that great.
Yeah.
They still need to drop 50.
He did not play
that. No Fox or Harper.
He didn't play that great, bro. The point differential was 109 to 108 and 125 to 120.
That's like, bro. Nuts. And we're in November. Gang, they doing this in November. And they, what are they, 8, 9, and 7?
9 and 7.
And this is what's going to happen. dude, when that stretch come in
December, they play, I think their next three games are some of their next three. It's like us, Pelicans, Thunder.
Yeah, they play.
You're going to have one off with the Pelicans, but you're
going to. I'm pretty sure Curry's not playing tonight.
Yeah.
He's out. Yeah, he's out.
That's probably tough.
They're managing him, yeah.
That's probably tough. And then they play us in what, like 5 days?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Shout out to the Unction, man. Shout out to the Unction.
People got to stop putting their old teams together, bro.
They're trying it, man.
Spread the clips, man.
Oh, no. That's, I ain't gonna lie. That might be the, I don't know what. They older than the Unks, man.
Yeah.
That's something different out there. But yes, that has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast. We thank you guys once again for stopping by and joining us. Please be sure to like, comment, share, subscribe on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, probably wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure to follow us on TikTok and Twitter. Everybody's links will be down below in the description. And yeah, we out.